Good. I'll be in 1 Peter tonight, and we're talking about an inheritance. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul and a marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. 1 Peter chapter 1, it's part of our inheritance. Talking about tonight about the great inheritance. The great inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. So they were chosen because God knew they'd get saved according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in a praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about the great inheritance. And Lord, I yield myself to you. I confess to you my inability to do what needs done. My job is supernatural, Father, to expound and transfer the truths of eternity, the mind of God. But natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit, and the heavens are higher than the earth, so are your ways and your thoughts than our thoughts. And so, Lord, I just pray you'd help, and I pray you'd speak, and I pray you'd impact our thinking and our minds, Lord, this evening. In power come and in power speak, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple things we have. It says we have a lively hope in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten, just like John 3:16, his only begotten Son, that means birth, had it from you, had a child, begotten us again unto a lively hope, an exciting, living hope, a looking forward to, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We get the idea now from seeing Jesus raised from the dead that we're going to be raised gloriously, power over death, and so we have that earnest expectation that is called hope in the Bible. To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's really good. God uses that term, inherit. I kind of got into that last week and just on the promised land and decided I like that word, inheritance, and how much is used in the Bible, and decided to just teach a lesson, mostly a New Testament lesson, a few things in Psalms and Proverbs about inheriting things. The most common thing it's used for is inheriting the land of promise, Canaan land. It's used a lot for that and almost exclusively for that. When you're referring to getting the land is when you inherit the land. But here it says we have an inheritance, incorruptible. Incorruptible. You know, there's so few things in this world that aren't going to corrupt. I think one of the neatest things about gold and silver is they can find them 1,000 years later at the bottom of the ocean, and there's still something there. I think that's pretty neat. I like that. And that's everything else is rotten, but the gold and the silver that God talks about so much are there. You know, people have so much security in so many things. I think that Russian billionaire, very wealthy man, and Putin decided he didn't like the guy and basically charged him whenever he wanted to because he's pretty much a dictator. And they put this guy, basically make a public spectacle of how powerful Putin was by putting a billionaire in a cage for everyone to come look at. And his billions couldn't do him any good. People who have massive amounts of money in the stock market and it crashes, or there's different things where they think where things can be destroyed. People can break in, as the Bible says, and thieves break through and steal, and all those things. Or you pass away before you can enjoy it. There's so many things that make our treasure corruptible. So many things. and the price of things changes and the value of things change and so many things like that. And yet our inheritance is incorruptible. It can never be destroyed. It can never be ruined. It can never become unvaluable. It can never be taken away because we die. It can never be stolen by a thief or anything. It's incorruptible and undefiled. That fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's a reserved treasure. It's reserved inheritance. Reserved. Got a reservation up there. And that's great because we have that. And so I like that. Lucky waitress gets a small fortune from a grateful customer. Cara Woods was a bubbly and affable 17-year-old waitress at Drin's Colonial Restaurant in Chagrin Falls, Ohio. One of her regular customers was Bill Cruxton, an 82-year-old local resident who visited the restaurant every day and made it a point to be seated in Cara Woods' section. She not only waited at his table daily, but also ran errands for him and helped him around his house. Bill Cruxton died in November of 1992, not before he rewrote his entire will to make his favorite waitress and friend the sole beneficiary of his $500,000 estate. She didn't know that was coming. And that's a good tip. $500,000. And just thinking, man, that's a great inheritance. And and to think of just, she got something to take her out of her daily grind, maybe, or only if she wanted to. Maybe she was a single mom. Who knows the situation? She could certainly go pay off a house in Ohio with that. And just what a blessing it was to get that inheritance. What a surprise! What a surprise it was. I was reading about inheritances a little bit, and there was a homeless guy who was kind of crazy. He was 67 years old. It just happened that everybody else died in the whole entire family, and he ended up inheriting millions and millions of dollars. And they tried, the police tried to get him to tell him about his inheritance. And when they found him and ran away from them, they had to chase him down and capture him and everything else, try to tell him. He didn't understand anyway. And he was kind of crazy and everything. And you just think about an inheritance whoa, look what I got. And inheritance is something that you get to just a bonus. And by the way, can I say that? In life on earth, an inheritance is a bonus. Don't hate somebody if you don't get an inheritance. It's a bonus. It's just, you didn't earn it. Well, they're my mom and dad. You earned your birth? No. It's not an earned thing. Just if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. People change inheritances. Boy, they cause family fights. And it's a bonus. But boy, those bonuses, when you don't expect them, pretty nice. Every once in a while, I get a class action lawsuit. I have no idea what it was about, but I was involved in it somehow. And I'll get, you know, sometimes $9.15, and sometimes I'll get, you know, $400 from a couple of class action lawsuits. I had my car wrecked several times. I just got bonus money, and there it came from my car wreck. And those bonuses, you just enjoy them. But in heaven, you've got an inheritance coming. And it's reserved in heaven for you. What is our inheritance? I'll just give you several inheritances in the Bible that we get. And some are good and some are bad. First inheritance we get is an incorruptible inheritance. We just read about that. How do we get that inheritance? How do you get it? Well, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. I'm so glad that our salvation is kept by God's power. How? Through faith. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, verse 5, ready to be revealed in the last time. This inheritance was given by the power of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, and it's an inheritance in heaven. It's a mansion. Boy, we got a mansion for an inheritance. That's a good thing. And reserved. It's reserved already. It's incorruptible and undefiled. It's kept by the power of God if we have faith. I want to say, though, that inheritance isn't for everybody. It is not for everybody. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, because a lot of the inheritance says you're not going to inherit things. And the unrighteous do not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Unless you think it's work salvation, but such were some of you. But you're washed, you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Unrighteous, sinners, lost, do not inherit the kingdom of God. It is not for everybody. Forward to Galatians, and just going to say this three times that we'll read, and it says it more than that, of inheritance is not for the unrighteous. Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. God gives us it's not a will that proves we have this inheritance, although the Bible is sort of a will. New Testament is a testament is like a will. We have that, but God says he gives us an earnest. Earnest is like a down payment. Earnest is like, this is an earnest payment. This is an earnest money. I've given you, I'm going to buy this for $10,000. I'm giving you $2,000 ahead of time. So now you already have an earnest money on that. God gives us an earnest to show that we have this inheritance in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, in whom we also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed, confirmed, the seal over a letter. Verse 14, this Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise and glory of God. God gave us an earnest payment. It's called the Holy Spirit inside of us. And that's our earnest payment. And so we are sealed. We already have a security. Our inheritance is sealed with the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We've already got the Holy Spirit as our down payment. And when we get to heaven, get that. It's how secure our salvation is. And God secures the inheritance and proves it to us by giving us an earnest, the Holy Spirit. Number two, we inherit promises. Let me take you to Hebrews. We inherit promises. Hebrews chapter 6. The promises of God. God has so many promises, and we stand on the promises of God. But these promises are inherited. Not everybody can claim the promises, but we inherit the promises. And many blessings of the Bible that it promises us. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your labor and work of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence, to the same full assurance of hope unto the end. But ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And I tell you, if you want to inherit the promises of God, and Abraham is the next example, he did it through patience and long-suffering. Through faith and patience inherit the promise. Those who keep on going. You want that inheritance, the promises of God? You grab a hold of the promise of God, and you with patience wait for it, the Bible says. You believe it, but don't be impatient. Through faith, you believe God, and you inherit those promises. What else do we inherit? We inherit the earth. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. This is a well-known verse in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 37, verse 11 also. That's a quote of Psalm 37:11. You say, what is the earth? I want to inherit heaven. Well, understand this. The Bible says the earth abideth forever, but in 2 Peter 3, it says God destroys this earth. He melts the heavens and the earth with a fervent heat to remove the curse. And the earth will be there in Revelation 21, after everything's done and after the thousand-year reign, a new heaven. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And he saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for a husband. And new Jerusalem comes down over the new earth. And that earth there is forever. It's a new earth. It's no more cursed. It's been melted with fervent heat, and it's called a new heaven and a new earth. And New Jerusalem comes down from God out of heaven onto the new earth. We don't know if it actually descends and actually lands on the new earth, but it comes down. It's called New Jerusalem. I believe it just goes right on top of where Israel is right now. Or it's right above it. And I believe that the Jews are still there where they've been promised. Remember, they were promised the land forever. They're not promised the promised land until the end of human time. They're promised the land of promise forever. And this earth abides forever, and the meek inherit it. I wonder if just that heaven will be New Jerusalem with streets of gold and all the things like that and the heavenly city. But I wonder if the earth will be the Garden of Eden and we'll be able to go on that earth also. We certainly will have access and we'll inherit it. And so we inherit the earth, and it'll be ours. And you know, this whole world that the God of this world is Satan right now, it's short term. Somebody's living just like somebody living in the mansion, you're going to inherit someday. You inherit the earth, and that is ours, and this planet is ours if we are meek. Next, we inherit glory. Let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs has some interesting things of inheritance. Proverbs. We can inherit glory. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 35, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. If you know Proverbs, so many of these chapters, they contrast. A wise gets this, a fool gets this, and they're opposites. Well, the wise shall inherit glory. The opposite of that is shame shall be the promotion of fools. What is glory? Well, it's the opposite of shame. Now, God says, my glory will not give to another, but men get glory that's not bad. In other words, here's Grandpa here, and the whole family says, Grandpa fought in World War II for us, and Grandpa married Grandma for 50 years, and he worked his same job for 45 years, and he built up this land here that we get to inherit. He's getting glory. He's getting honor. Now, a lot of people don't do that anymore, but that is what should happen. Glory. The Bible says the glory of children is their father's. And so it's the opposite of shame. It's people saying, man, you are blessed. That guy is somebody. Boy, the Bible says that the woman of virtue, she shall be praised. Where people say, wow, that person is somebody. They've done a great work. You've been a big blessing in my life. Those are all glory that isn't bad. Now, we're not taking away God's glory. You made me. You created me. You saved my soul. None of that. Not God's glory. However, the people who do the right thing, they will inherit glory versus the foolish people inherit shame. What do you do to qualify for that? Well, it's given pretty simply for the wise people. You know, people look up to wise people. People speak highly of wise people. I want to say, by the time you go to a certain age, people should be looking up and thinking highly of you. I think that's important. If people still think you're a goofball and foolish and a failure and don't got it together and, oh, brother, versus the shame. Listen, I look at certain people and they're in their 50s and 60s and everybody looks at them and says, man. And they should be getting honor at that age. But they're not. Matter of fact, sometimes people even laugh at him, feel sorry for him. No glory. Embarrassed. Why are you still doing that? Why are you still at this level in your life? Why have you, and that is a shame. That's the promotion of fools. If you live right, you'll get to a point where people admire you and look up to you, where people think you're somebody. And I think that's the normal progression. If you're still ashamed and your life is still embarrassing, at a certain point, you need to become somebody who's wise. Because wisdom brings glory. Wisdom brings glory. And that's your inheritance. And that's what God says is your inheritance. In other words, you're noticed for good and you're admired. You're admired. Understand? Think of somebody you admire in life. Somebody say, you know what? They are They got it together. They are, I hope I'm like them at that point. That's from wisdom. And that's the inheritance of being wise. Now, there'll be times when you don't look like that. When you're young sometimes, or when things are still developing and everything else. But eventually, by the way, nowadays, you will stand out if you're half wise. A wise 20-year-old, everybody looks up to and says, man, you are, that kid's got it together. He'd be average 50 years ago, but now he looks like he's brilliant, and boy, he's got character. Because he's average, because he doesn't do drugs and beat up his girlfriend and drop out of school and, you know, blow all his money and make a minimum wage at 24. Wow, he's impressive. I mean, that's kind of where we've gotten to. But I want to say, you should be wise. So people eventually, not so, but it will happen. It's the inheritance. It's a natural result where you get glory. And that's your inheritance. That's what you get for living wise. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. How many of you, your grandfather, the elders, the older people, where you grew up, the people who are wise, people looked up and admired them. How many of you, when you were growing up, it was like that? It's like that. All right. Now look at the age of the hands raised. it's mostly people who grew up in a different society, and so those people all know what I mean when you looked up to somebody where they got glory, they were looked up and admired. You're not saying they're God, you're not taking away God's glory, but that's what happens when you do right. And by the way, you say, well, it's not going to happen like that anymore. No, now you stand out more probably. A 55-year-old guy with his life together. Has his marriage together, has his kids together, has his finances together. Looks pretty impressive today. And so you inherit glory. Next, what do we inherit? We can inherit an incorruptible inheritance. We can inherit the promises. We can inherit the earth. We can inherit glory. We can also inherit the wind. Inherit the wind. That's not a very big inheritance. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 11. What kind of inheritance? Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 29. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, but a fool shall be servant to the wise in heart. He that troubleth his own house. Now listen, if you're well-traveled or you're well-experienced in life or you have a pretty broad spectrum of people you know, I have someone exactly in mind. Person is mid-50s right now. Everybody in his family thinks he's a loser. And by earthly speaking, and every measurable thing and what he's done in his life, he is. And people laugh at him. His grandkids don't want to be around him. His children don't want to be around him. Everyone rolls their eyes and they think about him. And those people who are like that, who didn't bring any admiration and who mess with their family, they cause strife and they cause divorce and they cause problems with their kids and they cause problems with their spouse. And pretty soon they become what we call grumpy, isolated old men and women that nobody wants to have anything to do with. And it's really sad when their inheritance, when their grandchildren are just sitting on their lap and saying, boy, I love you. You're the best grandma in the whole world. No one even wants to be with them. They inherit nothing because they troubled their own house. You know somebody like that? I know people like that. They, as they get older, and the blessings of life and the pride of life that should be coming into their life and the joy of what they've accomplished spiritually and earthly speaking and all that they should be looking forward to in old age, is there's nothing there. And they're bitter about it. Why? Because those that trouble their house inherit the wind. That's what you get. You get with nothing. You get what anybody could have. And that's what God says your inheritance is going to be. Listen, find ways to get along with your family. Find ways to be a blessing. Raise your kids right and treat your spouse right. And if there's problems, swallow your pride and be kind. Love people. Be kind to people. Be the peacemaker. Don't be the one who causes strife. Those that trouble their house, they get an inheritance. They inherit the wind. Their parents don't even leave them anything many times. There's nobody who wants to be like them. Nobody says, wow, you did that. They all just, do we have to see them? Can you picture that person in your mind? You know what I'm talking about? Those who trouble their house. They'll blame everybody else, by the way, in their 60s and 70s. But they troubled their own house. Don't do that. Have a good home and be a blessing to your house. You'll inherit the wind. Next, what can you inherit? You can inherit folly. Proverbs chapter 14. Again, a contrast here. Verse 18. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The word folly, it's when you look up the definition is silliness. That's what the word is. It's an important word because it's used a lot in Proverbs. But the actual dictionary definition, if you look up in the Hebrew word, it's the word is silliness. You say, well, silliness isn't that bad. There's a certain point where it is. And the opposite of that, of course, you can see in this verse, in verse 18, it says the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. You know, it's like the guy who everybody laughs at, who's a goofy person, who everybody says, oh, bro, that guy. And they laugh at him. And when you're getting laughed at, and that's your inheritance, is you are just goofy and silly. Yeah, you're fun for a while, but now you're just... You're a person who's not to be admired. You're a person to be eyes rolled at, people putting their elbows and whispering about you, laughing at you. You inherit the silliness of life where life doesn't matter, where your life didn't count, where you didn't do anything that mattered in eternity, where you didn't impact lives like you should. You just basically are inheriting silliness and foolishness. And by the way, there's a lot of people who what used to be what 12-year-olds did, and goofy and silliness, and 11 and 12 and 13-year-olds and 8-year-olds, what they used to do, it turned in my generation to 16, 17, and 18-year-olds did that stuff. Stupid, dumb, goofy, silly things. And, you know, it's funny when a 12-year-old does something silly and an 8-year-old does something silly. When you got to, you know, 16, 17, 18, you're getting in a little more trouble now. But, you know, people are 28, 27, 29 now, and they're still acting like children. They still aren't growing up. They're acting like a 12, 11, and 10-year-old used to do. And yeah, they're having fun. They're messing around at the bar, and they're laughing and drinking and doing all this. Laugh, 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 laugh. Check back with them. Yeah, they're silly. They inherit silliness, and they're still goofy and miserable, and they're pretty depressed people in their 40s and 50s because they haven't grown up. They inherit folly. They inherit a silliness. Their life is just a laughing stock. Their life is nothing. And they got to just keep one up in it. And pretty soon they just are miserable because they have nothing to their life except for a bunch of laughing fun times at 3 a.m. and nothing else matters. They inherit silliness. They inherit folly. They inherit just the goofiness of waste. And that's what they inherit. Next. What can we inherit? We can inherit a reward in heaven. We can inherit our rewards in heaven. Let's look at Colossians. Chapter 3. You still with me? You understand what inheritances you can get here? We're just giving you a list of God's inheritances and what we can inherit according to what we do, good and bad. And the good thing is, if you serve the Lord, you inherit rewards in heaven. Colossians 3:24, we were here quoting it this morning. Let's do 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Colossians 3:24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You get rewards, great is your reward in heaven when you serve the Lord. And that's how you get it, by serving Christ, by doing everything for the Lord. You receive the reward of the inheritance. You know, it's a crazy thing. You can go to work and do your job and not only get paid by your boss, but get rewards in heaven for it. Boy, that's overtime right there. That's time and a half. And that's a good thing. And you get it in heaven because you're serving Jesus at work. You receive the reward of the inheritance. You receive the reward in heaven because you did it for Jesus. You lived for Jesus and you did those things for him. Next, what else can we can inherit? Now, these ones are kind of amazing. These are above and beyond. Let me take it to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, what else can we inherit? Bible kind of calls it like fruit bearing. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. What are you going to inherit in life? And remember, inheritance is coming in the future. Psalm 16, verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. What is an inheritance you get? The Lord. You inherit the Lord. I love how he keeps saying that to the Levites. Levites, you don't get any land. I am your inheritance. God says, I'm your inheritance. You inherit me. You know the greatest thing about the Christian life is not all the blessings you get from God. All those are awesome. The greatest thing about the Christian life is you get the Lord. Let me try that again. I don't think you thought that was very exciting. I thought it was pretty exciting. If I would have said, guess what? $1,000 for everybody tonight, you'd have, really? The greatest thing about the Christian life is not that God blesses you and not all the blessings of the Christian life. The greatest thing about the Christian life is you get the Lord. Amen. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You get a personal relationship with the God of heaven. That's the blessing. The Lord is my portion, the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instructed me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved because God's with me. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Why? Because the Lord's with me. I remember that song meant a lot to me as a young Christian. It says, Lord, I praise you for who you are, not just for all the mighty things that you have done. And just enjoying God, because we get him forever. They shall be his servants. They shall serve him. We shall see him as he is. We're going to inherit the Lord. We get God forever in heaven. If we didn't get anything else in heaven, we get the Lord, and in his presence fullness of joy. We get God. We get God with us always. We get God as our best friends. God said, you know what? Be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is what we get. If we lose everything in life, if we lose our friends and family, if we lose our treasures like Paul did, if suffer the loss of all things, he kept one thing, he got Jesus. He gets the Lord. And let me tell you, the Lord is better than anything you can inherit in this life. Our inheritance. The Lord is a lot of my inheritance. Hey, you guys can come against me. Yeah, that's fine. But the Lord's my inheritance. You can take everything away. The Lord is my inheritance. And that's the most important thing. And the last thing we can inherit is Revelation chapter 21. We'll look at it there. Revelation 21. How many of you already know you have an inheritance coming? Raise your hand. Wow, this is great. And don't forget to tithe. And we look at our inheritance. That's comforting. That's nice to know. We'd rather have the person, of course. Right? Okay. I didn't get a very sturdy nod in that. And so we'd rather have the person, of course. But, you know, it's comforting to know we have an inheritance coming, especially depending on your situation in life. If you're not totally settled financially and your house isn't paid off and all those things, that's good. And it's something, but you know, you got better inheritances that to look forward to in heaven. That's even more comforting. What can we inherit? We can inherit all things. Revelation 21, verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Can I tell you, You can inherit every blessing of God, every reward in heaven. And if you want to see those rewards, just look at seven sets of rewards in Revelation 2 and 3 to the seven churches. There is, and read the Beatitudes and rewards. There's so many rewards in the Bible for things we do for God. But you know what? Him that overcometh, you want to be part of the inheritance of every single thing, be an overcomer, and you get written down for the full shebang of the inheritance. You know what? They overcame. God says, give them everything. I think everything in heaven, that's what it says, he that overcometh will inherit all things. That's got to be a pretty good boatload. That's going to be pretty good. I'm kind of looking forward to that, if I can get that. But it's not to every Christian, him that overcometh. I mean, let's just go back there and look in Revelation in chapter 3. Just look how great these rewards, and we're not going to read all of them, certainly, but just look at these things. and just things that he promises to those who overcome. Revelation chapter 3. And I lost a spot here. Him that overcometh. Verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down in my Father's throne. That's one of the things you can inherit. How would you like? I mean, I think it'd be cool to go sit in the throne of England. Just to sit in the throne of England. Be kind of cool. Give me the crown too, and I think it'd be kind of fun. Although it's a symbolic throne nowadays. But you know, those who overcome get to sit with Jesus in his throne. Boy, if we could taunt in heaven. Na 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 na. I sat in Jesus' throne. I mean, can you? I know we won't be like that. We won't be like me then. But you know, can you imagine sitting there for eternity and you'll never get to sit in that throne with Jesus? Because you didn't overcome? I mean, there's some pretty good promises. Him that overcometh will inherit all things. That's a good inheritance right there. I recommend you overcome. I recommend, instead of you looking at your obstacles as hopeless, oh, poor me, saying, wow, there's my opportunity to inherit all things. I'm glad God gave me something to overcome. And because they that overcome will inherit all things. A great inheritance. You just keep on serving God. You got some good things. You don't serve God to do foolish things. Expect to inherit folly in the air and bad things. But do right. We got great inheritances. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for these things we inherit, and some we want to and some we don't want to, Lord. I pray that we would enjoy a good inheritance for the next eons of time. Lord, thank you that you promise us inheritances in heaven. If you just said we wouldn't go to hell, we'd be blessed. Yet you say we got to go to heaven. Yet, and also you say we can earn different inheritances. And even in this life, we're going to inherit certain things if we do the right thing and live wisely. I pray that we would enjoy these inheritances. I pray we'd earn them. I pray we'd praise you and be peaceful and content because everything's okay. Because we have an inheritance coming. Not a corruptible one that we might get here on earth. But an incorruptible one, Father. Thank you for that. It's so much better than anything that this earth promises. And we praise you for it. Help us to overcome. Help us to be wise. Help us to serve you in everything. And all these different things that we can do to inherit. And just help us have joy because we got such a good inheritance coming. In Jesus' name. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I know you're the faithful and good folks that are here and want to serve the Lord and back on Sunday.